Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Verzola, and I hope we have our guest today, Tony Hall. I'm waiting for him to call in. I hope we don't have any problems again. he's the former director for the development of Treasure Island, the former Navy base here in San Francisco. And Tony, where are you? It's like car 54. Anyway, today is an interesting day in history, and while I'm waiting for Tony to call in, I hope he calls in, there's some history, some events that happen in world history that are relevant to America and the world. In 1764, Edward Gibbon was in, the famous English writer was in Rome, and he was inspired to write The Fall of the Roman Empire, and it's a primer for anybody who wants to know how empires rise and fall. And, of course, the classic of all time is The Fall of the Roman Empire, and I recommend that. It's long reading. And since we're on the subject of dictators or people who wanted to rule the world or parts of it, in 1815, the War of 1812, that famous or infamous piece of music by Peter Tchaikovsky, Napoleon was defeated after 100 days. He was exiled to Elba, and he escaped, and he fought a battle. He was emperor for 100 days, and he ended up in Belgium at a place called Waterloo, and he was defeated. He could have won that battle. It's ironic. It's one of those things that... just military miscalculation and what you don't expect happens. And I recommend the movie Waterloo, starring Rod Steiger. It was produced by Sergei Brunjachuk, Russian director who did War and Peace, and Christopher Plummer, who played Wellington. He also played in the Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music, or some people call it The Sound of Mucus. And in 1863, some interesting history for all military people who are interested in military. We have the Confederate first submarine, the CSS Hunley, named after its inventor. They sank that ship, that submarine or submersible, sank a Union ship, and in doing so, it also destroyed itself and drowned its owner. Recently, it was raised. And I think they're restoring it. It's a painstaking job, but it's maritime restoration of famous ships. It's quite a skill, and of course it should add to our appreciation of history. And also in 1878, since we have the big controversy about cap and trade, Thomas Edison started the Edison Electric Company, and they started creating and distributing electricity. And in 1894, a case which still rankles and still resonates through the French society, anti-Semitism, and the French military, the Captain Alfred Dreyfus, a French military officer, was falsely accused of espionage, selling secrets to the Germans, the latest gun. And, of course, Napoleon the founder of modern French artillery skills. He was an artillery officer, and the French have been famous for their creating light artillery like the French 77. Anyway, it was a notorious trial, very similar to what happened to Stephen Nery here in San Francisco, and there is a San Francisco connection. And we'll get into that in our American military history which is on YouTube at Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. And Dreyfus was exiled to, or was sentenced to Devil's Island, where he was supposed to die. And he didn't. And the great French writer, Emile Zola, I don't think my family's related to him. He was Italian. We're Spanish, Spanish-Asian, Native American. Anyway, he was the great journalist who took on his case and wrote the front page editorial in called J'accuse, I Accuse, and it really sent shockwaves through the French government and French society. And it took about 11 years for Captain Dreyfus to be exonerated, and it turned out it was a Hungarian. And we hear it may have some resonance today with George Soros, another Hungarian, of a very controversial person who's wheeling and dealing and doing a few other things that are making people very nervous and suspicious of his motives. But anyway, Esterházy somehow got in the French army. He's Hungarian, minor royalty, Count Esterházy, and he was the one who was selling the military secrets of French artillery to the Germans. And finally, he was exposed. He fled to England and wrote a book. He also ran a male whorehouse in Paris. And this is the only case where there have been 9 movies, more movies than, written and produced about than any other court case. And a couple were in English. The latest was by Richard Dreyfus, who's from Evanston, Illinois, the famous actor. And he reversed the roles. And some new things came out, and that's the latest on the Dreyfus case. And for those of you who like exotic dancers and espionage, we have the 1917, after she was apprehended, Mata Hari, who was believed to be of Dutch Indonesian ethnicity. She was tried and executed for being a spy for the Germans during World War I. Incidentally, Dreyfus was exonerated in time to fight in World War I. He died in, I think, in the early 30s. But she was probably the first woman spy to be executed in Western Europe, and there's still some controversy to this day. And, of course, the French have their share of traitors. In 1945, Pierre Laval, who was the Vichy prime minister and anti-Semitic and who sold out France, he was executed for treason. And in 1946, Hermann Göring, who was tried at Nuremberg and convicted to escape the gallows, he decided to poison himself. And it was believed that one of his American captors provided the poison pills, which he stuck somewhere on his body. He used to get strip searched every day, but they didn't find anything. And in 1966, LBJ created Department of Transportation, which is very controversial because they don't. There seem to be a lot of problems: planes falling out of the sky, checkpoints at airports that check in, that people are being claimed they're being abused, and the system certainly needs to be looked at and upgraded and overhauled. We do want security, but we don't want people to be unnecessarily delayed in traveling or harassed, and want competent people. And in 1990, this is relevant today, Mikhail Gorbachev, the president of Russia, received the Nobel Peace Prize. There was some controversy about that at that time, but nothing that equals what happened with the two recent ones. The Brazilian woman who claimed that her family was killed by terrorists and all that, the whole thing was a fraud, and she walked away with $1 million plus and has gone into well-deserved obscurity. They ought to take the prize back. I don't know if they've ever done that. And then of course, we have Barack Obama, who this is probably the most controversial award of the Nobel Peace Prize in the whole history of the Nobel Awards. And for people who don't know the history of the Nobel, Alfred Nobel was a Norwegian who invented dynamite. And I guess dynamite was being used, of course, in war, and instead of a peaceful purposes, which he presumably thought it should be used for, to excavate and to build dams, that sort of thing. And he set up this award, and the Norwegians have controlled it ever since. It's over 100 years old. And in 1991, those of you who are concerned about the U.S. Supreme Court, and you should be, Clarence Thomas, after being, many people think, falsely accused by Anita Hill, who herself is in well-deserved obscurity, she accused him of sexual harassment. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to be an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, and he's still there today. It's interesting, one of the questions about Anita Hill, she came out of here, she got her law degree from Yale, she graduated from Yale Law School. And in those days, in the 70s, if you were an ethnic, Wall Street, the big law firms were looking for ethnics, and nobody, she's never explained why. Hello, is that Tony there? Hello? I wonder if he's there. No caller. Oh. I heard a click there. Let me see. What happened here? We got a little problem here. I don't know what happened. Boy, are we still on? I hope we're still on. Anyway, we've got a little problem here. It does happen. Anyway, she went back to University of Oklahoma, and it's very where she is today. A lot of current controversy. I think there is a feeling that she was set up, and that's where it is today. And Clarence Thomas is still on the U.S. Supreme Court, and there hasn't been any controversy except those who remember the trial by fire that he was put through. I don't know what happened here, but, So, those of you who are following the U.S. Supreme Court with Sotomayor, she's going to be very interesting up there as the first woman Latina to... I don't know what's going on here. I don't know. But let me see. I'm trying to get my caller. Tony, where are you? We're going to have to work this out. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we're trying again to get our caller, our guest, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but I don't know what happened here. Let's see what happened. We'll try again. Tony, I'm sorry. This is a screw up. I don't know why. What's happened? But anyway, I don't want to disappoint our listeners. I finally got the tapes. I've gone through the tapes, the archival tapes that we did, the interviews with Mel Bell. I just has to be cleaned up a little bit, and the ones with for Memorial Day, Veterans Day, we'll have those rare military historical figures. Those will be, and plus we have some interesting animal military history involving animals. Those are coming up in the near future. I hope we can get this resolved. I don't know what happened here, but Oh no, we don't want that. I'm still new at this particular system. I don't know where my guest is. I thought he called in, and But anyway. On the show page today, somebody's trying to call in, and our show page today, we're talking about judges who are involved in sexual misconduct. Now, there's a notorious case in Texas. It's a local judge. They call him district judges down there, who is extorting his Hispanic judge, who's extorting sexual favors from people in his court or litigants or plaintiffs, and he's been exposed. There was a case in Alabama current, which is a homosexual case, involved it's a black judge, the first Democrat who was also black, who was appointed a judge, district judge in Alabama, who preyed on black defendants in his court, and he's been suspended from bench service on the Alabama bench, and he claims he's innocent and it's a setup and it's racism, and of course we don't know if that's true, but that's gone on. Then there's a famous case out of Tennessee, getting back to the U.S. Supreme Court, called United States versus Lanier, L-A-N-I-E-R, and this is a judge who was abusing extorting sexual favors from women in his court. And he was removed from the bench, and he was prosecuted, and he appealed his case all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and he lost. Now, this explodes the myth that judges are untouchable, that they cannot be removed, and they're omniscient, they're all-powerful and all that. And having long experience with federal courts, having started my career in the federal courthouse when I was a student, I've seen a lot of the federal judges, including Julius Hoffman, who this month, back in 1969, presided over the Chicago 8, the terrorists, the domestic terrorists who were involved with the Weathermen, Abby Hoffman, and that whole crowd. And that still, unfortunately, resonates today. People are very angry at Ayers. They think that he's gotten away literally and figuratively with murdering cops. And Bernadine Dorn, who has never expressed regret, and she made this horrible statement after the Manson family brutally murdered those people, the Tate-LaBianca, and what they did to Sharon Tate, I can't even repeat over the air. And she gloated over it, and then she said it was, you know, she was just joking, but that's not something you joke about. And no decent person does. And she, get this, she's teaching law at Northwestern University Law School. The other thing about Ayers is Jack Cashel, the great author, What's the Matter with California? Incidentally, he was inspired to write that after this hack writer named Thomas Franks, who never talked to Cashel, and really the questions about how he did his research, wrote an attack on people who lived in the heartland. What's the matter with Kansas? Well, a little film has come out. I don't know how good it is. I haven't seen it or previewed it. But I recommend the book because California is the ninth biggest economy in the world, and many, many problems here. Maybe the state is too big, and there is a move to split the state. I don't know how they're going to do it. And this isn't the first time this has happened. So I would recommend getting that book. It's still in print. You can get it from Amazon.com, or you can get it from JackCashel.com. And it's What's the Matter with California? I forgot the subtitle, but anyway, it's a book that everybody should be reading. And it does have the case, which I regularly refer to, so the Stephen Neri case. It just gets into it and also exposes. It's he's one of the authors who exposed the Matthew Shepard political fraud. The book has come out, Matthew, and of course he's a very attractive youth, or falsely described as a teenager. He wasn't a teenager, and he was in his early 20s. And he's the innocent victim of, quote, homophobia, when, in fact, he knew his killers, and we're not excusing his killers. That what they did was horrible and wrong, and he should have been prosecuted, and which they were, and punished. They were found guilty. But it was a drug deal gone down that he owed them some money, and also there was a relationship. There's an alleged sexual relationship with one of his killers. And also, according to Salon magazine, Matthew Shepard picked up AIDS when his family was in Morocco. The family's from Wyoming and was in oil. And this may be one of the biggest political scams in American history, along with Harvey Milk. There's another scandal with Harvey Milk that hasn't come out, and that is that he did sexually harass Dan White, and we got this from the cops They both worked on animal control, picking up dog dew, or trying to stop people from crapping, their animals crapping on the streets of San Francisco. And Harvey Milk would bring a turd with him, call in the cameras and put it on the sidewalk and say, "See?" I mean, he was a showman and he was in advertising in New York. So, he used to sexually harass Dan White, according to the cops, and that I knew, and tell him he was really gay and all that. And, of course, Dan White, there is a TV clip which we will broadcast on Mika's YouTube website, where Dan White says he's, you know, what people do privately is their own business, but to bring it into the streets, nudity and sexual acts, he was opposed to that, as are a lot of people. But increasingly, they've tried to bully and intimidate their critics, the what I call the crotch politic constituency. But that's going to be exposed. And also, Harvey Milk was not the first gay or homosexual official in San Francisco. It was a guy named Christensen back in the late 40s, early 50s. In fact, Mayor George Christopher knew him, but the guy disappeared, and he recently died, which we'll try to update that story. What's the other thing? And then the Matthew Shepard thing, this whole, what I call the Caligula Law. You know, the origin of hate crimes goes back into ancient history with the Romans when they tried to intimidate and bully, and when that didn't succeed, they horribly tortured and killed Christians, anybody who didn't believe in the pagan gods and that the emperor was God. And Caligula made Caligula, who was a pedophile, he was a murderer, you know, every dirty thing you could think of. And Caligula in Latin means little boots. Interesting character. He didn't live very long, but anyway, married his own sister, fathered a child by her. Talk about incest. But anyway, he made the statement, which is what's behind these hate crime laws, because we already have laws to punish people who violate other people's civil rights. He said, "It's not enough that they die quickly; they must suffer," and that's the mentality that goes back with these hate crimes, and we've seen it all throughout history. These tortures of political dissidents and people who won't go along with, quote, the system. We've seen it with the Nazis. We've seen it with the Soviets. We've seen it with other groups throughout history. Saddam Hussein, those people, horrible things that he did, and what they're doing in Iran today to the dissidents who opposed that election. I can never pronounce that horrible man's name. Ahmadinejad, whatever. Anyway, Aji, that's my nickname for him. But anyway, that still goes on today. And, of course, there's a horrible monster political leader in the old Soviet Union who does horrible tortures on people that oppose his politics and his abuse of his countrymen. And unfortunately, we have to deal with this guy because there was a military base there, and he's using that as leverage. So this is the way things are. But you know, the truth will come out. Truth will. It takes a while, and so you know, don't fall for all this propaganda from these media morons who try to con people, like the Tea Parties. And those are not going to go away. There are going to be more of them, is what I'm told, and there should be. And we had one politician who has suddenly resigned, this guy, Robert Wexler, and he's a Democrat from Florida. And we don't know, but there's a suspicion. He says there was an attempt at extortion, but there may be more. As the British say, the difference between American and political scandals is theirs is about sex, Americans is about money. But this one, our scandals may be about both. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi, her critics think she should follow the example of the Speaker of the British House of Parliament, who resigned under fire recently. And then the Speaker of the Irish Parliament was forced to resign. And, you know, nobody's indispensable in politics. Life goes on. The earth's not going to stop on its axis. And people should realize that these politicians are there to serve the nation, not to serve themselves. But that's, you know, what a lot of them think, that this is an opportunity for honest or dishonest graft, as David Fowler would say. But I refer you to, I don't know what happened to our guest. I don't know if it's a snafu on my part. If it is, I apologize. But go to our website. It's easy to get it this way, verzola.com, V-E-R-Z-O-L-A.com, and go to our YouTube sites. We'll be putting up more. We'll show you how community activists who pretend to be poor, how they end up. It's a video, short video, and we just worked on it. We're working on it right now, and a few other things of interest. One involves Clint Eastwood. It's a fun one. I wish he'd run for governor. But anyway, I want you people to go to YouTube, Amicus Veritas, A-M-I-C-U-S-V-E-R-I-T-A-S. Email us at, you can email us at A-M-I-C-U-S-V-E-R-I-T-A-S at sbcglobal.net. And I don't know what to say, what happened to my guest. The other thing is we'll continue this Tuesday and Thursday at 5 o'clock. I think that's the best time. If anybody out there can think of something better, because I was hearing complaints from people on the East Coast that it's a bad time for them. But remember, we're keeping the archives up. You can download and listen and learn at your leisure. So I'll keep them up as long as I can and as long as the broadcast network will allow it. We'll also make permanent records of them because I learned to do that at Western Public Radio, so we'll be doing that. And we'll be doing more on veterans and practical stuff and interview some people that you never would have thought of. Some of the stuff I've done in the past, it's still relevant today. I want to thank you people for tuning in. And we're going to end with what I think is an appropriate piece of music. So tune in Tuesday at 5 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Verzola, and here is Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony. Up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Mike, wise.
Me too.
Hit me with a
kick.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up and carve and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough.
Is politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrades.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try like a Vanyashinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!